66-64 with 4.1 seconds remaining.
And TCU would win it by that 66-64 score. 4-seed Nebraska defeated 13-seed Troy by 29 points, 76-47, by 23 points and 7 three-pointers from Price Sanford. Right now, 5-seed Wisconsin and 12-seed High Point tied at 43, 3 minutes into the second half. We've got 6-seed Louisville leading 11-seed South Florida, 54-37, 5 minutes into the second half.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update. Well, President Trump will seek funding for the war in Iran while Republican lawmakers debate whether to attach wildfire aid and $15 billion in tariff relief for farmers. Any news reports no decision had yet been made, and House Republicans are particularly cautious about the package growing too large. Bloomberg reports Senate Republicans are feeling rising pressure from farmers for a bailout to offset quickly rising fuel and fertilizer prices. Well, leaders from the agricultural, manufacturing, and technology sectors met in Washington to highlight the importance of renewing the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement as it approaches the formal review period. The discussion was co-hosted by the National Corn Growers Association and the National Foreign Trade Council. Speakers from the agriculture and manufacturing sector pointed out the agreement has strengthened North American trade and created greater certainty for businesses across many sectors. And U.S. and Chinese economic officials held what were called remarkably stable talks in Paris last weekend. Reuters says the Chinese side showed a willingness toward buying more U.S. agricultural goods, including poultry, beef, and non-soybean row crops, adding China is still committed to buying 25 million tons of American soybeans each of the next 3 years. But the Associated Press says President Trump might delay his visit to China to increase the pressure on Beijing to help reopen the Strait of Hormuz.
Spring alternaria pressure can be a real issue for almond growers, but Alyssa's fungicide can help control it. How do I know that? Because I'm an almond grower, and that hammering sound isn't from a shop. That's the sound of Alyssa's fungicide hitting back against diseases. Hey, can you keep it down for a minute? With two powerful active ingredients, Alyssa's fungicide lays a strong foundation against alternaria, rust, and scab, delivering dependable, long-lasting residual control. Okay, you're good now. Always read and follow label directions.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how are you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are tumbling in afternoon trading as rising crude oil prices are reviving inflation fears, while the Fed's cautious stance on interest rate cuts is weighing on investor sentiment. On Wednesday, the Fed left rates unchanged. Chair Jerome Powell said that it was too early to assess the economic impact of the Iranian conflict. U.S. crude is hovering around $96 a barrel, and fuel cost sensitive stocks like airlines and cruise operators are falling. However, it's a good day on Wall Street for shares of Five Below, up 10% after the The discount retailer reported higher quarterly profit and sales during the holiday period. The teen-centric retailer offered an upbeat forecast for this year, and Darden Restaurant's third quarter sales grew, boosted by strong traffic at its Longhorn Steakhouse, though Olive Garden sales growth fell short of expectations. Darden stock is up around 1%. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
If you're under the impression that federal food stamps are available only to the elderly and the poor, you're in for a surprise. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
If you've had the experience of standing in the checkout line at the supermarket next to a strapping young fellow with a big basket of groceries who pays for them with food stamps, and you're worrying how long you'll be able to find the cash to feed your family after you've paid your taxes, you've probably wondered about the food stamp program and how it works. You're not alone. Plenty of other taxpayers are beginning to ask the same questions, and with good reason. One irate father called me from another state last year. He makes $100,000 a year. Why, he demanded to know, was my state government providing his son with food stamps while the young man was going to college in California? Well, the fact is, under present federal regulations, a full-time student living away from home can have food stamps at the taxpayer's expense, even if his father earns $1 million a year. One young woman in California took just enough college courses to avoid the food stamp work requirement. She was studying to be a witch. There's no minimum age for food stamp recipients either. In California last year, a special task force investigating the program found cases where 14-year-olds ran away from home and lived in communes on food stamps. Even strikers are eligible, which takes the government out of its traditional role of being neutral in labor disputes and puts it in the position of subsidizing strikes. Obviously, something's wrong. Food stamps began in 1964 as a plan for distributing agricultural surpluses to the needy. Fewer than 400,000 persons received the stamps. Today, 13 million get them. That's an increase of 3,150% in 10 years. We've long since used up that agricultural surplus. In fact, today our problem's one of shortages. But according to a recent congressional report, in another 2 years, 60 million Americans, one out of every four, will be receiving food stamps at the expense of the other three. Like some other government programs that grew out of our compassion for the needy, food stamps have gone out of control. In a nation that's taken pride in self-reliance for 200 years, we're actually encouraging able-bodied young men and women to go on the dole. Yet the food stamp program was never intended to subsidize college students and teenage runaways. Some politicians react to every attempt at welfare reform as if it were an attack on poor people, closing their eyes to the reality that such programs become less efficient the older and bigger they get. There hasn't been a government program yet that couldn't benefit from periodic review and reform. That task force I mentioned came back with a long list of food stamp abuses, thefts, red tape, and counterfeiting, all of which added up to a hefty chunk of the annual $4 billion bill the taxpayers pay for food stamps. They made 32 recommendations to tighten eligibility, improve security, and streamline the program. In California, we adopted what reforms we could last year, but food stamps are a federal program, so most of the changes will have to be made in Washington. They could begin by moving this welfare program, for that's what it is, from the Department of Agriculture, where it now takes one-third of the department's budget, to the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, where it belongs. Will Congress do anything about this mess? Well, maybe that's up to you. A group of congressmen calling themselves the Steering Committee have studied that task force report and are preparing corrective legislation. Whether it passes will depend a lot on whether enough taxpayers tell their congressmen just how they feel about a program that's supposed to help the needy, but which actually redistributes the taxpayers' earnings to subsidize a lot of people who'd just rather not bother earning the money themselves. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today, I have San Luis Obispo County Supervisor John Pashon on the show. We are going to be going over a number of issues. We're going to start by talking about what's going on with oil, Trump oil off the Central Coast, and what is going on in our county with oil. Then we're going to go into the budget. There's been some interesting, there was a meeting last Tuesday where they brought up issues with the budget. The county budget, we'll be talking about that. We're going to go into the slow cog tax, find out what John thinks and what's happening with the different cities in the county and several other issues. I have to tell you now, we will not be able to take phone calls. They are replacing boards and equipment in the studio. But if you do want to say something, you can text at 238-5775. 238-5775 if you have a question that you want to ask John. John, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
I appreciate the opportunity, as always.
There's a lot going on.
A lot going on.
You need to be here because there's just too much going on.
There is definitely a lot going on.
And I want to start with what's going on with the oil. For those that don't know, there has been a battle in Santa Barbara County for some time. They have oil off the coast. They have some oil platforms off the coast of Santa Barbara County. They are very high producing. When they're producing, it would be approximately 15% of the oil supply for our state. It's a major amount. It's like taking out, it's a 1.5 Diablo Canyons to the electricity. It would be very hard. What had happened was there was an oil leak, as many people know, and that oil leak goes back to about, I think it was 2015, and that was back when Plains All American Pipeline ran it, and at that time, the pipeline was closed down, so they couldn't, how do you do the oil if you can't move it? So the oil production there was stopped. And then another company bought it. They were allowed to reopen. And it's just been the most ridiculous mudslinging. They approved the pipeline. And then they came back and said, no, there's problems with the pipeline after they were restarting. And at this point, because of the war in Iran, Donald Trump said, I am going to use the Defense Production Act. And you are allowed immediately to use that pipeline and get back to work. Regardless, Sable gave the county a 24-hour notice. They said, we're going to start in 24 hours. And then right about that time, they say, we want you now to take out the pipeline. So it's kind of almost like sixth grade girls throwing things at each other. It's very unprofessional. John, what did you think about this getting reopened? Do you think it's important?
Well, from an energy standpoint, which is what I think we're talking about, is energy in California. And as you know, we are in San Luis Obispo County are experts on energy because of Diablo Canyon, which provides 10% of the energy through the grid throughout the state. So and the region. So we are we're on the front lines of this big issue, which is energy, and it's only getting worse due to a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of new businesses with data centers that use a lot of energy. There's people that are charging automobiles that uses energy. And so as we go forward into the future, you know, the governor had made a decision to say that we're going to be carbon free and neutral by 2040. And so that means that they've got to speed up the timeline. And the production of clean energy with like solar panels and wind and all that is not moving as fast as they want it to. And so there's still a need as we go through this transition for oil in the communities. To be able to produce energy for either automobiles or for, you know, manufacturing or for any of the things that we want to do in the future or other people want to do. AI is certainly, with the data centers, is certainly, you know, growing that pretty fast. So, yes, the president did go ahead and he signed the Defense Production Act on Friday, Defense Production Act on Friday, with a executive order to restart it up, and it has been restarted. This is Sable is the name of the company that purchased the pipeline from Plains All American Pipeline, which is the company that had it in 2015 when there was an accident and a leak, and so that they've used that. The one thing that I thought was interesting, so the pipeline goes over to Bakersfield, over to Kern County to. Be able to put turned into gasoline over there in a refinery. It goes actually through a state park, which is the Gaviota Pass State Park. And so now State Parks is suing them to stop that because they don't want oil going through the park. And that's what they're using to be able to try to stop it. The governor's also and the attorney general are in the process of suing to try to stop this. But by using the Defense Production Act, I do believe that he has, you know, as the president of the United States, and he has rights to do executive orders, and he has signed it, and so they are moving forward. These are platforms, as you know, off of the coast of Santa Barbara. There was a big issue a couple months ago before the board about, you know, platforms they were going to drill off of our coast, which is not the case.
And I do want to get into that.
Yeah.
Let's stop there for a minute. Okay. And get into it. Every election, uh-huh. And I mean every election.
Every election, you are correct.
They either going back come out years. And say, we're going to have platforms or we're going to have fracking. And they say, I'll push a resolution. Now, remember what a resolution is. It does nothing but cost the citizens money because it's got to go to the county, the attorney. They've got to write it. They've got to approve it. An expensive thing that holds no weight. But here's the issue. This county passed a measure decades ago.
Decades ago, yes.
And there were already, I think, two...
Measure A.
Measure A, but two platforms had already been approved off the coast that never got built near Napomo, and I'll tell you why. If you can't have infrastructure, we have a law in this county, they can't have any inland infrastructure. Same thing with Santa Barbara and that pipeline. That pipeline's already created. You would have to get permits for infrastructure. We don't give them. We're never going to have offshore oil, but every 2 years, it becomes an issue.
It does, and they keep bringing it up, and there are other counties that are along the coast here that have said, we don't want offshore oil, and they pass a resolution. In reality, you got to have actually oil offshore to have platforms offshore. You know, a lot of the Monterey, and then you have... You know, in both locations, Monterey County and San Luis Obispo County, there's now, you know, the NOAA has put together, or the, you know, through the federal government process, the marine sanctuaries. And so that's another added, you know, right there. That's another thing that they do not allow to have in these marine sanctuaries, which is always amazing to me that they wanted to put big deep water platforms for windmills in the middle of a sanctuary. Right, so which I'll get into in a little bit, but I do think that the oil is moving right now. It's moving to refineries. There's a refinery in Los Angeles. Now, remember, across the board, we had over 30 refineries in the state of California 35, 40 years ago. We're now down to 7 refineries. We have 2 that are shutting down.
And Chevron's one of them that's shutting down.
Yep.
And can you explain why they're shutting down, please?
Well, they've moved their headquarters out of California. And they've moved actually to Texas, the headquarters. They took all their employees, and all the tax revenue is now outside the state. And so, I you know, it's a very tough state to do business in with the movement of people trying to shut down an industry.
And one of the other reasons, and I did read this as one of their reasons when they said they were shutting down, California has very strict rules with refining oil as they try to become more and more oil free. And it increases every year. And it's getting to the point where they're losing money refining oil here. So they're not going to run, they're not going to do refinery here if they're losing money. And they went to the state and said, stop this. And I am shocked. They're not doing it. We're going to end up with oil shortages.
Well, gasoline shortages. So the question is, you know, without refineries, that means you have to then import on a boat. You have to bring in refined gasoline. So it's going to be refined someplace else. The jobs won't be here. The revenue won't be here, but it's just going to come off the ship and then go straight into tankers and deliver to your gas stations. This is the bigger question, though, to me, because I think this timeline that the government has, the state government has, you know, to be able to be carbon free, we first have to embrace nuclear energy. Now, we all know that they tried to shut that down, but that is carbon-free. And that's why there's a number of people on the left and the right that support, you know, because it's good, clean energy. The second is the California also said no hydro. Well, hydro, they do not believe a hydro is a clean, green energy. Now, Washington and Oregon do, but we do not. And so they can't figure hydro into the mix here, though we do have some in the but that's going to be phased out if they have their way. And so those are two different other forms of energy. But right now, to be carbon free, we're going to need 750,000 more acres of solar panels in the state to be able to get there. Now, think about that. That means covering up productive farmland throughout the state to be able to do that. And that, to me, that's years and years and years off.
And the other problem with that is that when they call it green energy, they're not saying that those panels are very, I mean, they have to be recycled, and some of them are toxic. It isn't green in that regard. And I do like solar. I think solar is great for the mix. I like wind energy, not offshore.
But you said a magic word there. You said a mix.
Yes.
You know, energy is not one, you know, commodity. It's multiple different things that come together to form our grid. And so, you know, they shut down San Onofre. Wouldn't it be great if San Onofre was still open right now? You know, because that would give us another 10%. Of the energy that we need, you know, that we use on a daily basis. You know, let's just say we have solar panels, got it. You know, but they're shutting down. If you've ever been to Las Vegas, they have one that's kind of unique, which it has these towers in the middle out there, and then it reflects the sunlight on mirrors to the tower to be able to, they're shutting that one down. And so some of this older technology, and then don't forget, we've had this discussion over the last 8 months on batteries and the storage. You know, I mean, there's storage, battery storage. The early technology has failed. It failed up in Monterey County, which everybody now is looking at their local battery storage. And so they don't have that under control. All of these things have to come together to be able to do this as we go through this energy transition. And right now, what's happening, and if you look at San Luis Obispo County, we are the largest county with the most power shutoffs of any county in California. We actually have our power shut off every day during the summer. As you saw, you know, if you read CalCoast News or you read some other news outlet, you're always finding that, you know, power was shut off for 1,500 or 2,000 homes for 8 hours here or 8 hours there. You know, and the grid right now is not as reliable as it should be, and that's what we have to work on. And in addition to that, you know, you've got people putting solar panels in, you know, in productive farmland. They're hooking it up to either the grid directly, or they're putting power in battery storage, and things like that. And the technology is not where it should be.
I agree. The way that this is going right now, the electricity, but also the oil, is very unsustainable. And yes. What have you noticed?
Natural gas, like an example, that's not oil, but natural gas. We're still running, you know, power plants on natural gas.
And one of the things that they're not talking about, you have a number of the Democrats who have come out. You had Carvajal come out and give a statement. The governor give a statement. They were angry about Trump reopening the oil in Santa Barbara County. But at the same time, they're saying, well, it's only 15% of the oil. Why does that make a difference? You learn in, like, junior high school about supply and demand.
100%.
You
and 60% of the oil that we use in the state of California comes off a boat now from places like Venezuela, you know, or wherever it would be. China actually is the largest. I think they get 90% of their oil by tanker. 90%. That's why what's going on in the Middle East and the Straits of Hormuz is such a big deal, is because they're going to run out. You know, they're not going to be able to get the oil that they have been purchasing from that market and get it to their shores to be able to be refined. That's what, and it's what drives their economy. It's what drives our economy. You know, and everybody talks about, you know, let's just give the example of the Salinas Valley here and all the farms. The farms and the farm implements, the tractors and the trucks, they're still running on gasoline or diesel and oil. That's what it is. You can't just turn that off. When you turn that off, you have price spikes, which we have right now. You see how high these prices are. And just 2 months ago, I was in Colorado dropping my son off at college. And I went to the Buc-ee's, which is a big gas station out there. And I paid $1.88 a gallon for gasoline. $1.88. I just paid in my diesel truck, I just paid $7 the other day. You know, once again, when something like that happens, then you have the economic problem. And it's not like people can afford California right now anyway. You know, they ignored the affordability and the cost of living for the last, and all of a sudden it becomes a campaign issue and everybody's excited, but now these prices have gone through the roof.
I have some friends that I know, the people that own Spencer Markets, and they said we can always, the economy doesn't hurt them as it does other people, because people still have to eat. And actually, grocery stores often do better in a down economy because people don't go to restaurants. But what they told me, you can tell the economy by what they're buying.
Mm-hmm.
When the economy is great, they're selling steaks and good things. When the economy is bad, it's a hot dog and macaroni and cheese. And they said it's bad right now. People are buying hot dogs and mac and cheese.
I think it was moving in the right direction, right? But the supply, as you go back to what you said, supply and demand. Right. And so I thought things were moving in the right direction. I felt good about the future, you know, and just the way California deals with this issue, with the oil issue, and being able to, anytime somebody wants to bring more oil and refine it here locally because it makes sense to do and make sure that you have supply, you know, they want to shut down that supply to force people to change their behavior, to force people onto, you know, onto public transportation, or force people onto, you know, and as you know, California has a kind of a unique history with the automobile, and they have for 100 years. And what happened years ago in Los Angeles County was they had a great public transportation system, and it was bought out by a number of people and shut down, and people put everybody in cars. And so everybody, you can't just say, put an arbitrary date out there and say, you will be carbon free by X date. It is a transition, and it takes time to be able to transition.
And I wasn't aware of the unique history here of the automobile.
Mm-hmm.
What is the unique history?
Well, it just there's a bunch of organizations that got together and decided that they wanted to put more people in their cars to give them more freedom, so they didn't have to rely on public transportation time schedules or whatever it was, and they were able to do that. And so we have 42 million people that live in this great state. As you know, 11 million of those live in LA County. And a lot of those folks have cars, and they're going to continue. And by the way, you know, they're talking about electric cars. That's why they're talking about a mileage tax now. You know, the state government is talking about charging people per mile because they know that, you know, they're not going to get them out of their cars, electric or gasoline or diesel or whatever. But so once again, you know, it kind of going back to the money here.
My family was in not my family recently. Before World War II, there was a Vili automobile.
Where was it?
I don't know. I think it was the East Coast, but it was a Vili automobile.
Uh-huh.
And then during the war, they were doing something else. And then after the war, they went into, some of the family went into John Deere tractors.
Okay.
And that's, but it was, there is a Vili automobile that was sold.
We need to find one for you. I'm sure there's a collector's organization, right, you know, of car collectors of the Vili automobile.
I found it very interesting.
That is wonderful.
We're going to take our a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with John Pichon.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. When tax laws change, confidence matters. With the Big Beautiful Bill bringing new deductions, credits, and rules, your locally owned and operated H&R Block is here to help you make sense of it all. Our trusted tax pros stay up to date on the latest changes so you don't have to. H&R Block helps you get every dollar you deserve, fast, accurate, and stress-free. This tax season, trust H&R Block to help you navigate the Big Beautiful Bill with confidence. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your taxes done right.
Well, Rich London, it's spring. If I need a mattress, why should I spring into the mattress specialist?
If you look around, you're going to see mattresses everywhere in this store.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
They are stacked up almost to the ceiling, and I'm not kidding. And they're all on sale right now because I've got too much stock and I need to move it. So come on down quick and save big.
Enjoy the special springtime savings at the mattress specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And today I have Supervisor John Pichon on the show. We're going over a number of things. We're starting with Trump using the Defense Production Act to restart oil drilling in the Santa Barbara area, talking a little bit about what is going on with energy in the county. And I do want to bring up the windmill argument. There are actually people now saying this was never real, that it was never going to happen. It was not planned to happen.
Offshore wind.
It wasn't going to happen, but I know it's been in the works for over 10 years.
Yeah, and we had something come up recently on it at the board, but it's been going on for a long time. They've talked about it. They also talked about, and they did hold an auction to lease off the property, the federal property, to allow people to do this out in the 22 miles offshore here and in Humboldt County. Those were the two counties that were going to do it. And it was moving forward, and then President Trump came in and stopped it, probably across the board because of the cost and the expense here. But you'd also have to figure out how to get that power from the windmills back onto shore. And these were tied down with cables to be able to float out there. They're floating, and then the cables would be sunk into a very deep ocean floor. And there was a lot of people that were worried, a bunch of different issues. you know, the environmentalists were really worried about the whales and running into the cables and dying that way. You know, there was other things too. And then there was trying to figure out how to actually make it work from a maintenance and manufacturing perspective and which port would handle it. And it just got, it got so big and so cumbersome, you know, and realizing that the cost of energy just would go through the roof. Whatever it produced was going to be very, very expensive. It stops penciling out. So the president shut it down. And there's still, like our county, and I did not vote for it, but the county made a decision to keep lobbying for it to see if we could get it done, because I think they look at it as jobs. I just think about, this is going to be the most expensive energy ever, and it's just going to be, it's going to price itself out of the market, and it's going to, we're already in a very expensive state, you know, we're a very expensive county, and so my goal is always to try to figure out ways to make working families, you know, cost of living go down, not up.
And what do you think about the proposed battery storage issues right now? What do you think about battery storage at this point?
Well, I think that the older technology has been proven that it doesn't work really well. The fires were out of control and they had to burn. They dumped lots of heavy metals on valuable farmland so agriculture couldn't grow things. And I think that it was really an eye-opener for a lot of people in Monterey County. I know Supervisor Church up there, it's an issue that he was always supportive of, and then, you know, when this happened, he has to run, he's running for re-election, and it's an issue that's coming up a lot, and he had nothing to do with this, and he's being, I think, unfairly blamed for it. But I will tell you this, that, you know, we have to improve the technology. We should not be putting it in neighborhoods, you know, around people that are going to, you know, this needs to be outside, and there's a lot of times, you know, closer to some of these lines that are feeding the grid across, and not, you know, in neighborhoods, and making sure that the technology actually works. I think some of the new technology is showing promise, but I don't think it's been proven yet. But we're not going to get to this magical clean energy future without battery storage. But we have to do it safely and not tear apart, you know, communities.
There is some batteries that are being looked at right now that do not have the fire issues that the ones now. What they're doing right now is just trying to make them more contained into smaller buildings. But there is actual work and a plan to go to batteries that don't cause the fires and that can be done much more safely, but they're not there yet.
No, they're not. But there's a lot of the technology, you know, if you think about it, these are the same arguments though that they had for nuclear 50 years ago, right? We're not there yet. Well, they built it, they improved it, they make it. Now you're talking about modular nuclear, you know, reactors, which would be much smaller nuclear reactors that could fund, power neighborhoods, you know, of 3,000 or 5,000 homes, and it could run small businesses. And, you know, all of this technology is moving so fast right now, you know, but it has to be tested. It has to be tried. They have to make sure that it's going to be safe. And Diablo, I believe, is a very safe, you know, nuclear facility. I've toured it quite a few times. They're good people that work there. The IBEW's down there, and they, you know, they do a great job. And I do believe it's the wave of the future. I do still believe that nuclear energy has a home here in our county, but also in other counties.
Do you want to see them expand, Diablo?
I would like to see them, if they can do it safely, yes, I think that they could expand it. I think that they could, you know, get the reactors and add more power into the grid. You bet. But, you know, maybe it's, you know, with the new technology of modular nuclear reactors, maybe that's the future. Let's see if they expand into that.
And with AI, they know they need more electricity.
Yes, they do. The data centers and the AI is it's causing shortages. I heard this, and I don't know how accurate this is, but I think it's true. Microsoft purchased like the old facility at Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania near Harrisburg to be able to, you know, be able to supply power to a data center there.
And I think that's another thing they're telling the AI companies. You can do it, but you have to produce your own energy.
Right, find out how to produce your own energy.
Mm-hmm. I think that'll become more common. We'll have to see as we move forward with energy issues what happens at Diablo. We're going to take our top of the hour break, and we'll be back with more with John Pashan. I think that was a great way.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.